Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Every Rooman, every human at will.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Say you're in a dimly lit bar in Brooklyn. There's loud music playing and a crowd of people yelling over it. You're there with a few friends, you have a few drinks, and then suddenly, well, not to put too fine a point on it, you need to find the bathroom. And as you head towards the back, you hear this. Well, it may be a bit jarring to hear opera in a bar or a club, but that is the mission of Opera on Tap. Emerging soprano Ann Ritchie has performed at Lincoln Center and with the Chicago Humanities Festival, but she felt it was time for opera singers to grab a beer and come down from their ivory tower. She now organizes monthly performances where other opera singers can perform in more, shall we say, relaxed environments. And Ann Ritchie of Opera on Tap joins us here today as part of our Soundcheck Showcase series, where we present up-and-coming artists. Ann, is drinking sort of actively encouraged in these Opera on Tap things?
It's somewhat actively encouraged, though we encourage people not to over-imbibe at the same time. That's happened on a couple of occasions, and it tends to lead to musical train wrecks, as we've learned.
Because, I mean, you know, performing opera, that's a, you know, it's kind of an athletic performance practice, you know?
This is true. I mean, the way we set up our program, though, we're all singing, you know, one aria at a time. It's not like we're singing a full-length opera. So you can get away with, you know, perhaps a little of imbibing. Mm-hmm. In many ways, a beer will help you relax and allow you to breathe in a more relaxed fashion, which, of course, allows your voice to project further.
Are you saying something with Opera on Tap about, you know, opera in quote-unquote normal venues in the opera house? Is there something that we're losing from the experience of seeing opera at grand halls like the Met that we don't get, that we do get in a setting like a bar or a club?
I would say yes. I mean, I think that the environments in which we perform allow the audiences to get a more kind of intimate interpersonal experience with the performers. I don't think you ever get to see an opera singer, you know, 5 feet away from you blurting out at full volume something they do.
Well, but I mean, there's also, I mean, a lot of great voices, they kind of bloom when they get away from the microphone or the stage. So, you know, up in the upper seats of the Met, sometimes you get a better sound than the people in the front row.
Well, this is true.
So, I mean, how do you kind of fit an opera, something on the grand operatic scale, into a little club?
Well, I think, I mean, in terms of the acoustics, I think having a much smaller room, it gives you a little bit of that bathroom kind of resonance. So we still sound pretty big and impressive in that kind of environment. I guess the other aspect of it is that, you know, we're making opera singers appear as human beings, you know, for people who may think that they're kind of these untouchable, as you said before, the ivory tower kind of stigma is attached to the opera world. So it allows the singers to kind of really let their personality shine forth, explain what they like about the piece they're performing. And I think it gives the audience this feeling that they're getting to know the singers as well. And that seems to be something that really draws back a very regular crowd.
So what was the reason for starting Opera on Tap?
The reason really came from, I mean, the first time we actually started doing it, it was offered to us by Donald O'Finn, who is the booking manager at Freddie's Bar and Back Room. And I happened to be there to watch one of my voice students, who's a country singers band, the Blue State Band, play there. And I was just talking to Don. I was like, God, it's so fun. You know, I'd had a couple beers, I'm going to actually say. I was like, this is just so great. You know, I wish that I had an opportunity like this to just kind of, you know, let the hair down, have a beer, and sing music without any pressure attached to it. And he thought it was a great idea. It turns out that he's a huge opera fan. He's like, let's do a diva night. So we did a diva night like the next month, and it was a big success. And we've been doing it pretty much then every month since then.
So how many great ideas have been hatched after a couple of beers? Opera on Tap apparently is one of them. We're speaking with Ann Ritchie, and we're going to hear a little bit from Rigoletto by Giuseppe Verdi. Now, this is not a, you know, fancy schmancy opera house recording. This is from some local place here in New York. This is actually from Barbès in Park Slope.
This is from Barbès. This is from a show we did last year.
Okay, let's hear a little bit from Opera on Tap. From Opera on Tap, live at the Club Barbès in Brooklyn. That's Caro Nome, Rigoletto by Giuseppe Verdi is the opera. Was this part, Ann Ritchie, of an entire performance of Rigoletto in this small little Brooklyn club?
No, it was basically what we do for our shows. We pick a very broad theme, and then we ask our singers to come and, you know, submit an idea or what they would like to sing that kind of fits into the theme. Boy, that show was a long time ago, and I honestly can't remember what exactly our theme was. It wasn't that. I mean, it wasn't all of Rigoletto.
Okay. Have you done that, though? I mean, have you actually tried to present entire acts or something like that from an opera?
We came close once to actually doing the entire act, Act 3 of La Boheme, at the Vortex Theater, which was a theater company that we were affiliating with for a little bit there to kind of bring, you know, more people to classical theater and opera. But later this year, in the late summer, we're going to actually produce our first opera, which is like a one-act brand new opera that it was basically composed to be in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured it matched.
So that way the drinking can actually be written into the score.
Yes, exactly.
Very nice. So I understand there's also like a kind of opera in drag thing that you've done as well?
Yes, that was this past weekend. We decided to kind of, we did a gender bender show, but it was also an opportunity for people to cross vocal categories. So mm-hmm. It was cross-dressing and also cross-fucking, as it's called.
So you want to be careful how you say that.
I know, I was going to say, note the very bright ah in that word. But I had my first opportunity to sing Nessun Dorma, which was really great, so... You know, I really appreciated that.
Okay. So are you making new friends for opera or are you scaring the old ones off?
I'm not sure if we're scaring the old ones. I think we're definitely making some new friends. In fact, I was just talking to a friend of mine who helps us out with our website who had not gone to the opera before and said he's gone 3 times this year. And he largely credits us with that. and yeah, I mean, we have very regular crowds at our shows, which is great.
Well, now, who are the regulars? I mean, is there a regular group of singers who come and perform?
Yeah, we have an alternating group of over 40 artists now that come and perform with us when they can and that kind of thing. A pretty core group that, like, 10 to 15 people that come a lot.
And are they, you know, I mean, do they do this as their profession?
They are basically at that point in their careers where they are getting jobs, they're getting paid to do work, but they're not necessarily paying all their bills by being an opera singer. So they have to patch a lot of things together. I mean, that's certainly my experience mm-hmm. right now, too.
But this is a non-profit
yes.
Opera on Tap. So is anybody, I mean, do you work for tips? How does that work?
Well, I mean, we just organized as a non-for-profit in, when was that, October of last year. And we just got our tax exemption in January of this year. But our mission as a non-for-profit company is to do two things, is to basically to build more audiences for opera or bring more people to the art form and allow them to kind of experience it in a way that is comfortable for them. And the other way is to help singers kind of move forward with their careers when they're kind of in that in-between stage between education and a professional career.
All right. But so it's not meant as a kind of money-making, you know, thing.
Certainly not. Unfortunately for me.
So, I mean, how long have you been doing this now?
The first show we ever did was June 2005, so almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. You mentioned before that, you know, too much drinking leads to musical train wrecks. Have there been any outrageous goings-on stage during the course of Opera on Tap?
I think the one that sticks out most in my mind was a gig at the Parkside Lounge where Carla and Jessica, who are my co-managing divas, and I, we do this truncated version of the Ride of the Valkyries, and we had all had a couple vodka tonics that night. We were all a little nervous. It was kind of a new venue for us, whatever. Anyway, yeah, it really fell apart. And at one point, I remember Jessica looking out, and she was pretending to be riding her horse, like, you know, because all the Valkyries are riding these horses around. And we fly around the stage and do all kinds of antics during the show. And she kind of called out. She's just like, where are we? Where are we? So it was a little... It was a little shocking.
All right.
We put that one down for a while.
We're speaking with Ann Ritchie. She is the co-founder of Opera on Tap, which actually is returning to the scene of the crime there at the Parkside Lounge for the next performance. That'll be on April 4th. Parkside Lounge is on the Lower East Side, and that will be all things Spanish.
Yes.
So you get your Carmen and your Rigoletto, your Figaros and mm-hmm. things like that.
Absolutely.
All right. There's also actually had a call from a listener reminding us that the Asti restaurant used to have opera singing in Midtown. And I guess there still are a couple of restaurants around the Met where after hours you might find a little impromptu singing going on. Was that kind of an inspiration for Opera on Tap?
It really wasn't, though. I mean, I was perfectly aware that a lot of that was going on way before we ever came about. I really loved the idea of entering a place where more of a rock band would play. I liked the dive bar aspect a lot more in terms of what we were doing.
So who is the audience? I mean, are they largely younger people because of the kind of places that you're going to?
We get a real interesting mix. I mean, we certainly have a group of people that come very regularly who are middle-aged and already clearly love opera. And then the other half definitely are young adults that are coming, and many of them have come up to us after and said, thanks for this. We've never, you know, considered opera something that we would be into and whatever. So it's a real diverse mix.
Do you find people kind of stumbling into it, not expecting it?
Certainly at Freddy's, yeah, because the bathroom's in the back room, so we tend to get some audience that way.
So when you're not singing next to the restroom there at the back of the bar...
or using it as a part of the theatrics.
You know, what kind of stuff do you sing?
I'm a lyric soprano. My favorite stuff in the world to sing is Mozart. Mm-hmm. I love singing Mozart. I've gotten recently into doing a lot of contemporary and new works, too, just because I like the acting side of opera a lot. So,
can you do that sort of thing in close quarters? You know, really kind of do the whole acting thing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, we also promote, because we are thinking that we're trying to develop audiences for opera, we consider ourselves outreach. So we really encourage our singers to interact with the audience as much as possible.
Okay. Anne, are you, I mean, would you call yourself a professional opera singer? I mean, do you pay most of the bills that way?
No, definitely not. I'd say I'm semi-professional with many degrees.
And what has the reaction of the opera profession been to Opera on Tap?
It's been very, very positive, actually, which has been great so far. You know, for instance, right now we've been starting to kind of collaborate a little bit with American Opera Projects, which is a very well-known company for producing new works of American contemporary opera. And we're talking about perhaps working together more to kind of develop audiences for new opera. Because, again, we've also discovered at our shows we can throw in new opera and people will respond well to it.
All right. Well, the next chance for people to respond to what Opera on Tap does will be April 4th at the Parkside Lounge on the Lower East Side. Ann Ritchie is co-founder of Opera on Tap. Ann, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon. Good luck on the 4th.
Thank you.
And that'll do it for Soundcheck today. Soundcheck Showcase is supported in part by the New York State Music Fund, established by the New York State Attorney General at Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors. More from Opera on Tap, recorded at Brooklyn's Club Barbez in the background. And tomorrow on our program, the pop star as DJ. Sirius Satellite Radio has the B-52's Fred Schneider, New York Dolls frontman David Johansen, and Joan Jett. XM Satellite Radio counters with Bob Dylan, rapper Snoop Dogg, and Wynton Marsalis. We'll check out who they draw in and what they play. Also tomorrow, clarinetist, composer, arranger Andy Biskin brings a jazz band to play Stephen Foster songs live in our studio. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was Paul Schneider. The program is produced by Brian Wise, Alicia Abbott, and Allison Lichter. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatow, and our executive producer is Chris Bannon. We had help today from Mark Phillips. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again at this time tomorrow for another Soundcheck.